was going 7 years ago.
Ask Doc what your country can do for you.
Ask me the questions I won't know.
That the only thing we have to fear is
history of love.
Hey, thanks for joining us here on History Bluffs. My name is Bob Nugent. I'm here with my co-host, David Britton.
Yes.
It's worse. It's worse when you don't do anything. It really is.
I love it the most.
We have a wonderful show for you today. Our guest.
We sure do, Bob.
Oh, yeah, we do. We absolutely do. Our guest today is a legend. We've got us another legend, David. Yes. It's amazing that this
always
works out.
How do we keep getting these legends?
It's because the afterlife, their schedules are completely clear. We're the only ones trolling in there for dead. Strange.
That's true. Well, already. Could we get the movie legend on?
Maybe next time. Today we're joined by a revolutionary and a champion of people's rights, a man who is well known to so many people around the world as a freedom fighter, yet we may discover that he has a few skeletons in his closet. Ladies
Please
and
welcome
gentlemen.
Kelsey Grammer. Rest in peace. We're the first. Just happened yesterday.
Oh,
it's very sad.
Is that true? I was just talking
no,
yesterday.
No, it's not, but let's start that rumor.
I was just talking yesterday about how they're first ballot Hall of Famers. Like when an athlete like retires, as soon as they're eligible, they get right into the Hall of Fame. History Bluffs, the day Mr. T dies, we got to do an episode about
sure,
it.
Yeah.
The day he dies. I want it to be out the next day to honor him.
Yep.
Nobody cares.
I care.
Please welcome our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mohandas Gandhi. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, this is very...
No,
excuse me. Hey, you do what you want. You're fucking Gandhi.
It's true.
You do what
true.
You want.
I am a fucking Gandhi.
You are. We're happy that you've joined
that
us.
That seemed like you were in between. You're like, I can't decide if I want to or not. This way, I'll split the difference. I'll decide next time I answer
Our last question. Guests lost their accents the longer the show went on.
Yeah,
so
I figured that would happen. Yeah, that's why I was like...
It would be a mess. We don't want that to happen. Now, Mr. Gandhi, what we're going to do here is we have a list. Is it Mr. Gandhi?
It's Mahatma. Oh. It sounds like Mr.
Now, Mahatma is his title, so it's a little different. We'll get into it. We'll get into it. But we have a list of 20 questions here that we'll ask you, and you
it's
will answer as honestly as you can and tell our listeners the real story behind Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi. That's right.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Does that sound okay with you? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's start at the beginning. Then I'd like to know, when were you born? What is your birthday?
I was born on February 14th, 1908.
1908. And where
that
were you born?
Like
how about a city or a town?
Bangladesh.
Bangladesh. And where is that?
It's somewhere around India.
It's around
like kind
India?
Of outside of it, but like really near it.
Okay.
You know, it's like kind of in there.
India is pretty big as far as I remember.
But you know what's bigger? Outside of India.
That's true. It's 100% bigger than India.
Their neighbors. I don't know about 100%.
Well, yeah. Everything outside of India would comprise of 100% of not India.
Well, that's true, but is it 100% bigger?
It would be way more than 100%
bigger. Oh, yeah,
bigger.
Good point.
Math bluffs. Let's get into your story.
Math bluffs is correct. We have no idea what we're talking about. You were right, though.
It's true.
You were right.
It's true. We have no idea what we're talking about. As a young boy, your sister is quoted as saying that you were an energetic child and that you enjoyed animals, which... is great. I think we all enjoyed animals, especially dogs.
I wouldn't even put it in past tense.
Noting one particular thing that you would do to a dog for entertainment. And this I found to be incredibly strange. So please explain to us, what did you do with
I
these dogs?
I would get some grease paint, and I would draw mustaches on all the dogs.
On all the dogs. And that filled you with a large amount of joy.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was super cool, man.
So to what end are you drawing mustaches on dogs?
I would do the twisty kind. I would do the big bushy kind.
Right, I get that. There's a variety of mustaches that you're drawing. Why? Why did you put mustaches on dogs?
Because then it felt less weird to talk to it about my problems.
It's like, clearly I can respect this thing's opinion. It has a mustache.
Okay, another question. Why do you need a group of them then to have mustaches? I mean, is it one day you can't find the right dog? There's a different dog there with a mustache.
Dogs die left and right.
Oh,
I mean,
true.
My sister would just kill these dogs.
Oh, your sister was a dog killer.
Oh, yeah.
This is an awful, awful story. Why did she kill dogs?
Because she hated dogs.
Oh, okay.
She was a cat. She was a cat lady.
Sometimes it's as simple as dancing.
It is. It is. At school, you were able to mingle with other kids and sort of get to. Oh, is that
Oh, I know how to mingle.
And a lot of these kids had very different backgrounds than you did. So it was your way of sort of getting to know that there are different kinds of people in the world and things like that. One boy named Sheikh Matab.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
He was very friendly with you. You guys were buddies, were pals. You're young and in school. Until one day he pressured you into two reprehensible acts, two things that no human should be comfortable doing, or at least you, Mahatma Gandhi, were not comfortable doing. What are these two things that he persuaded you to do?
Number one, he persuaded me to steal a stick of gum from a CVS.
A CVS drugstore.
Yes, which is stealing, which we all know is a sin. Right?
Yes.
A sin. Wait, a single stick, not a pack?
Yeah, no, that's what was hard about it. Like, you had to unwrap the pack and just one stick and leave it in there.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Before we get to the second thing he made you do, guide us through this. How did you go about it? You walk in there.
You walk in.
Do you want a little bit of... Dun, dun, dun.
I walked in. I scouted out the area. I cleared the vicinity of all problems. And as I approached the gum stand, I would make some small talk with the shopkeep. I would say, "Hey, shopkeep, mighty good weather today."
And the shopkeep would say,
"Oh, actually, there's a tornado." But if you're into that,
he was concerned about the tornado,
yes,
and just, you know, preparing his children for the inevitable doom,
mm-hmm.
I would be like, tornado, I love tornadoes, and I would just kind of slip the gum
one
into
slice.
My pocket.
This is
the intricate
sir,
part.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes?
Mr. Simpson, a stick of gum is not a sprinkle.
Really? Do you have to, really? Come on.
That's a set character.
It's true. So you make out with the whole pack of gum.
No. So I slip it in my pocket, and then while I use my hand to just like
unwrap it.
Steal one stick, and then put in a stick of other gum.
Ooh.
Used gum. So, and I would stick that back in, and then
so you saved your chewing gum after you chewed it?
Yeah, it's like, you know,
put it back in a wrapper.
I hear in the afterlife, we love Indiana Jones.
Yes.
It's a great movie, so you had to do the thing with, like, you gotta replace, you can't just take a thing.
The bag of sand and the idol, gotta switch them out.
And the gum is my idol. And so I had to replace it.
So then you take the gum, you go outside, tornado.
Tornado. I would sacrifice the gum to the tornado.
So what was the second thing that he had you do?
The second thing he asked me, mm-hmm. and he actually convinced me to make out with my cousin.
What was your cousin's name? What was your cousin's name?
Shannon.
Shannon. And again, Shannon, that's Gandhi. Androgynous name. Is it a man or a woman?
Well, now it's a woman.
Okay.
Back when we made out, totally a dude.
I see. Totes dude.
Such a dude.
Okay. So, and you made out with Shannon.
Yeah, I even copped a feel.
Okay, so what did that entail? That's kissing and a touching, right? And a rubbing?
Yeah, I mean, he was still a man. Like, he had nice boobs for a dude. Nice dude.
Manish
boobs.
Features.
Yeah.
But womanish features.
Yeah, but, you know, like, we would make out in my dad's garage.
And I assume that this was the end of your friendship. You're like, you know what, Matab, I can't hang out with you anymore.
Well, no, because it turns out he wanted to make out with Shannon. And then it got into a big jealousy thing. It was a big blow up. And he never forgave me for that.
Dave has had situations like that a lot of times.
Where I blew up?
Where, no.
You mean my mixtape?
Yeah, your mixtape.
It is fire.
Is that out yet?
Yeah, my mixtape's out.
What's it called?
It's called Fire.
How many songs are on it?
Just one song. It's one long track.
And it's called?
It's called Fire. Okay. You know what I mean?
I didn't know if it was titled Fire.
I was going to call it The World of Fire and Ice, but that's taken by
sure.
What's the album cover?
It's just a picture of me, like, holding a goat. I don't know. What do you want?
It's keep on the lookout for that. DavidBrittonComedy.com. It's never coming out. At the age of 13, you did something as a young man that I think most boys that age would be terrified to do, and it changed your life forever. At the age of 13, what did you do that was so life-changing?
Start jerking off in front of dogs.
Now, did it have anything to do with the mustaches?
Yeah, like, I mean... You know, like, you have a therapist you can fight in. Like, I feel like this guy is comfortable to watch me jerk off.
He gets me.
Yeah, you know, and they're not going to tell nobody except the other dogs. And sure, they're going to give me looks. But you know what? They're such pretentious little dogs.
So you're masturbating in front of dogs. Mm-hmm. Where? Where are you doing this?
In front of dogs.
It's like he's not even paying attention.
No, actually, I understand the question.
Is there a place? Are you on the street? Are you in the Ganges?
There was a barn. A couple miles away. I would ride one of the dogs to the barn.
At 13!
One of the larger dogs.
I was a very skinny child.
Jesus Christ.
And this was like a big Labrador retriever.
Those are big.
And, just
that's so big, in fact, that maybe a 13-year-old could ride it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were very strong. Oh, they worked out. Oh, so they
swam
muscular.
A lot. Muscular
swam
Labrador.
A lot. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally buff. I'm not going to jerk off in front of some fat dog. Like hot dogs, man.
All right. So you take this dog out to the barn.
You yeah. ride it out there.
I'm sorry. You ride this dog out to the barn.
Don't jerk off in front of a different dog. I like when you ride that dog. Yeah.
Well, see, the dog out of the dog wait outside.
I'll be out in a minute.
Yeah. There's another dog bouncer who we would just, you would exchange a nod.
Yeah.
And then he opens the gate and I would just walk in and there's just a little peephole.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually where the doorknob was supposed to be. So I would open that. And inside there was just a barrel of hay. And
a
next to a dead horse,
a
barrel of hay, dead horse,
mm-hmm.
live dog, and they would just and
prime
would
conditions
just,
to masturbate.
Yeah. And I mean, it you would
was
just
there
keep barking.
Always a dead horse?
Yeah, it was the same dead horse.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
They weren't killing multiple horses.
It's like, fuck, I want to masturbate in front of this dog, but the horse isn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the dog eats the horse afterwards.
Yeah, well, and then I would start, and then right when I would finish, there would be another dog that jumps out of the hay.
Oh, oh, that would scare you and like
yeah.
push you over the edge.
Oh, you know, it was like instead of choking myself, I would just have a dog just come over. It was chained to the dead horse
instead so of choking myself.
Yeah, but then I would walk out and I would ride the dog back to my house.
Now, listen, that is something
that's
that
a full
I
day
think
is what I
most 13-year-old boys would be horrified to ride a dog to a barn and then masturbate in front of another dog
and
near
a
dead horse and then ride that dog home.
And waiting for a third dog to scare you.
It's
don't
just
forget about that.
It's so many things that a 13-year-old boy is not going to want to be a yeah. part of.
I know you said there's a tiny peephole, but I at first heard, and then there's tiny people. And I'm like, what is going on?
I mean, that's a show you could probably sell tickets to. Yeah. Your father was known as a prominent member of the community that you lived in, and he had a specific title, and that title was Dewan, D-E-W-A-N. It was a position he held for a large portion of his life.
You remember he'd come into town and people were like, Dewan, what up?
I don't think that's it. But this is his job. It's what he did for a living. Tell me, what was this Dewan? What did that person do?
A Dewan?
Yeah,
or a Dewan. There's very different things.
Okay.
Dewan and a Dewan.
Okay, so what's a Dewan?
A Dewan. Dewans, they would schedule child's birthday parties.
Oh, okay. So they were like unofficial clowns. They were suit clowns.
No, they were bookers.
Oh,
they were bookers
okay.
for the kids' birthday parties. They would choose who got invited, who was friends with who.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. like we can't have Ranji come to the party because Metab is going to be there and he's going to tell him, hey, go in there and steal me a slice of gum at the CVS.
Did you say soup clowns?
Suit.
Clowns. Oh, yeah, sure.
They were the, you know, the clowns that do the business.
Okay.
They're not into making fun. They're into making money.
Right.
Yeah. The Dewan was
yes.
a dog breeder.
A dog breeder.
Yeah, he would breed these really sexy dogs.
Wait,
your father was
a
dog breeder?
Yeah. Or he would, like, make the dogs? I can't tell if he's...
Now, I see what you mean. Would he have sex with dogs?
Are you implying that my dad is a dog fucker?
Dog person? Or...
I was trying to figure out if you were saying that.
Yeah
you're
implying
right. Yeah.
That... Oh, so
was that not clear?
Yeah, thanks.
So your father was trying to mate or have...
Trying.
Okay, your father was having sex with dogs in order to make dog people. Or dogs.
Yeah, I mean...
Or just
you
people?
Can't just... You don't want to just jerk off in front of a dog with a dog face, but he would help them give a little bit of a people to... He would have a little bit of a people face because my dad
Wait,
was inside.
People?
No.
People.
Again. So what I'm assuming here is that this person is making dog people so that people that fuck dogs could transition back to fucking people.
Yeah,
is that
what you're saying? Oh my God. It got crazy.
It sounds like it got crazy.
It got crazy from there. That's the
jumping off point. The population got too low because everybody was fucking all these dogs. He's like, how do we get people to remember how great people are?
Oh, sure.
So you just a little bit of person, a little bit of dog. Next thing you know, people are back to people.
It's like
dogs
the
are out.
Dr. Moreau.
Wow. That was almost a song that he just did. I don't know if we can go back and set that to music. Could you do it again? Do you think you could do it again if you had to?
You would jerk off dogs. I don't think he meant the whole thing.
Yeah, start from the beginning of the podcast.
Jerk, jerk, jerk to jerk off dogs. I think that's a Doors song, isn't it?
No? Yeah.
In your late teens, your father was very ill, mm-hmm. and you stayed with him constantly to oversee his health.
Oh, surprising that he got sick somehow.
I was fucking a lot of dogs. That'll happen. You stayed with him constantly, and only to see his health deteriorate more and more. on one specific night you left his side and you chose to go do something else because you had been there for so long and you had other things that you needed to do. And you left his bedside. Now, while you were doing this other thing, your father died.
Yeah.
And this caused you to be filled with regret and hate this thing that you did when you could have been by your father's side.
Right.
And you chose instead to go and do this other thing. What was this other thing that you chose to do?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Before you answer, what? Can we just please not make this horrific?
Okay, so your father, he's on his deathbed, and you're like, oh no, I have to go do this other thing. BRB, while you're gone, TLDR, your dad dies.
Right.
So what were you doing when your dad died?
I was going to get medicine for my dad. But it turns out that he was waiting for me to leave so he could shoot himself in the face.
Oh my God!
What did I say? What did I just say?
He was just like, he was in so much pain that he was just like, I want to end this. So he was like, can you go get me some medicine? I'm like, totally.
What kind of medicine?
You know, Tylenol. he had cancer, and he just didn't want to just, it hurt real bad.
So you run down to the CVS, walk in, the guy's like, hey, it's that kid with the tornado news. What can I get
old
for
wet
you?
Gum. Once he realized, wet gum kid.
You go, you're like, one bottle of Tylenol.
One bottle of Tylenol.
And
one stick of gum. I would steal this. I had to do the gum thing, which is what took so long.
Yeah.
That's why I missed my dad's suicide.
You were addicted to stealing one stick of gum out of a bag.
Yeah.
Putting the other one back. You get there, your dad has shot himself in the face.
Yeah, I had to steal nicotine patches to get rid of my addiction to gum stealing.
Stealing gum?
Yeah.
So you traded
I started
in.
Smoking, right. And so I could get rid of the gum thing, you know.
But
just, chewing gum's a real problem.
That led you to more gum because of the nicotine gum.
Yeah.
That's a problem, I think.
Yeah.
I would have never viewed this.
No, it's a bigger problem.
What's that?
The hole in my dad's face.
Well, I assume you just
can see that.
Filled it with Tylenol.
I walked in and I was like, Dad, are you okay? And I noticed he didn't have one of his eyes. It was like he shot it. He had a shotgun.
It's a big gun.
Oh, yeah.
How did he get
it? My dad, huge hands, huge arms.
Okay.
You think you could fuck a dog with baby hands? I don't think so.
I like to think the dog has baby hands because it could be taken either way when you say
Yeah, well, yeah, when after the dogs he breeded with that have
so
baby people hands.
So why did he have the shotgun in bed with him?
To kill himself.
Oh, okay. So it was like, could you hand me that shotgun?
He hit it.
I want to look at it.
There was a chamber pot under the bed. There's a chamber pot next to the shotgun, which was next to the Advil, which he had.
Oh.
Which, see, that's why I was like, oh, shit, he had Advil. I could have just given him that.
Very different drug, though. You know, maybe he had a little inflammation. That's what the ibuprofen is for. Advil?
Yeah.
Ibuprofen? Same
thing?
They're
the same thing.
Yeah,
it turns out
he
killed himself so I wouldn't get the life insurance money off of his death.
How much was he worth?
Oh, just at least 30, 40 bucks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know how many packs of gum that is? How many packs of gum is that, Dave?
12?
Nope, that's
wrong. Well, you're paying way too much for gum, my friend.
How would you know you stole it your whole life?
You had plans, even before your father's demise, you had plans to expand your education.
Oh, big plans.
And leave India. You had to leave India to expand and grow as a person and get smarter. And before leaving...
Because you can't do that in India.
That's not what I meant at all, but it's true. You made
Dear
a
Lord.
Sacred vow to your mother... to not do three specific things while you were away getting this education. What were the... And again, Dave's probably going to ask that you not make them terrible.
Okay.
But there are three
just, you know what,
three
I'm
things.
Just...
I'll tell you what. We'll do it like this. Dave will play your honorable mother, who's a very beautiful, wonderful woman. You are a young Mohandas Gandhi. You're coming in. She wants you to do three things. And you're just going to be like, Mother, I promise I'm not... And go ahead.
Okay. So number one, Mom. Mommy, look at me. Mom, in my absence, I promise I will never adopt another mom.
So far, so good.
God, you
it's
sound
ladies.
You sound much more feminine than you used to. You used to have this big gravelly man voice.
Let's go on.
What, you're a southern truck driver? What was that?
Go on. Go on.
A wagon driver at the time.
Oh, right. Driving a wagon down to the CVS.
Don't take no other moms before me.
Nope.
Thou shalt not take other moms before me.
That's the number one. It would have been after you, but whatever. That's fine. Yeah, totally. That's how words work.
I mean, anyway. Just don't be in front of me taking some other mom, like, from behind or whatever.
I'm not fucking my mom. You told me not to be horrific. You're like, don't get behind
not
your
fucking,
mom.
Well, he's not fucking his
no,
mom.
No, I mean, just don't have sexual relations.
Why are you Bill Cosby now?
My mom's Bill Cosby. Did I clarify that?
And then?
Go on.
I
love you so much.
I promised that I would never teach a man to fish.
Oh, okay.
And I would never lead a revolution.
Oh, never have a revolution. Never
lead
revolution.
A revolution.
Okay.
That's how she said it. She liked to speak Spanish from time to time.
Bueno. Right, yo, squirrel Taco Bell.
Really? That's all you can pull?
I remember these warm summer days, I would walk out.
Did he just say, I what Taco Bell? Is that what you said? You what Taco Bell?
Telemundo. Thank you. I love you.
You know, some of my fondest
good night.
Memories.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, son. Good night.
Some of my fondest memories of just waking up in the morning and watching my mom shave her face. I was like, oh, that fresh smell of aftershave in the morning.
Yes, while she did her picture pages. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad would do sit-ups and just be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a very energetic workouter.
I see. Workouter. Okay.
He was very much football all the day.
Football man.
Yes.
Very sports. Eventually, you traveled to England to finalize your education.
Oh, don't remind me.
And you chose a very specific field to go into. Mm-hmm. What field did you end up settling on after you had finished your education? What did you choose to be?
Peaceful writing.
What?
So I would write in peace.
You would write? So you were a writer?
Yeah. I majored in writing.
So proud of him.
All right, that's it. And scene. I'm sorry. I forgot to turn him off. If I forget to turn him off, he'll do it the whole show. So you decided to write peacefully.
Yeah, I wanted to write comic books.
Comic books, as in, like, illustrated stories for people who want mirth.
Yeah,
why are you telling us what comic books are?
Well, you see, I'm not good at drawing, so I would just describe what happens in the comic book
and
with my words.
And then in this block, this happens. Yeah. Spider-Man kicked the guy in the face. I assume it's not Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I would, like, write, okay, then there's a small bubble that says pow in next to where I hit him in the face, and then there's another small bubble that says oof, and then there's another small bubble.
This sounds like a really poor choice.
Ask me. Oh, it didn't. I never used it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it it became useless.
Your father and I support you no matter what you choose.
Now you were eventually a writer. You did put out your own books and things like that. And we'll talk about your books in a little bit. But you began working in this field of comic booking, or at least trying to make a little money in this field. And you found yourself.
I would read books to the deaf from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't do much. It was actually a pretty easy gig.
Who paid you to do this?
Deaf people.
What? Wait, how did they communicate to you that they want? Did they just walk up to you and hit you with a book?
No, they're just like they would point to the book and be like, "Well, we've heard this is good, but not actually." So they were like, "Hey, we would like to observe this book in sign language." I understood sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I would just read it to them, and they would read my lips. They would read my lips.
I see.
And then they would give me $50.
So here's what's happening is they give you a book. You're reading it out loud and in sign language, and they're watching you.
No, he's not doing the sign language. No. They're reading
my lips.
Oh, so they're communicating to you in sign language. They're reading your lips so that you can tell them the story.
Yeah.
So deaf people can't read is what you're telling
me.
Yeah,
well, these ones.
I'm pretty sure their eyes work perfectly well.
Yeah, but they weren't educated because at the time, everybody just thought they were demons.
Demons?
Yeah, they didn't understand how deaf people worked. They were just like, oh, these kids' ears don't work. Clearly, they're sent from the devil himself.
Right.
Or herself.
What?
Oh, that's very progressive.
Gandhi, well known for his stances on equality.
Oh, I love the broads.
So you're working in this field of comic books, and you found yourself moving away from India for a very long time to a place where you saw firsthand injustice and horrible, horrible conditions for for people in the world. Where was this place?
Wait, people?
People. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, people in the world. Where was this place?
Alberta, Canada.
Alberta, Canada. Mm-hmm. And what was so bad about this this place in Alberta? What was so bad about
it? Oh, my God. It was, everything was rampant. All the, everything.
Wait, yep, everything.
Disease.
Some things can be rampant and good, right?
I mean, candy, yeah.
Yeah.
Minions, those minions from that movie, the little yellow guys.
Oh, I love those guys.
When they're rampant, it's just the best.
Yeah, but I went to this.
I like the fat one. He makes me laugh really hard.
Is there a fat one?
There's a couple.
I thought their deal was they all look the same.
They're all fat.
I went to this one city in Canada, and there were just people walking down the street. They were jaywalking,
mm-hmm.
just left and right, just not even caring.
I think that's how you jaywalk. You go from left to right.
Yeah, well, sometimes from right to left.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
sure,
I've
sure,
seen
sure.
That.
People would just, they would just beat them violently. And
people?
It was, oh, yeah.
Okay. So people.
Wait, people?
God damn it.
Human beings slapping other human beings for jaywalking.
So there's horrible, horrible things happening in Alberta, and it's really turning something on inside of you.
Oh, I was turned on.
Well, you set him up for that one.
And you ended up writing a book called The Hind Swaraj. S-W-A-R-A-J is in your mid-30s. You wrote this book. And in it, you propose a very specific plan based on the concept of Swaraj. Now, what does this concept suggest, Swaraj?
It was to never eat. It was
so no eating.
No, it was to get rid of all manly possessions and vices.
Manly possessions.
Yeah. And
so you could keep like a flower basket.
Are you saying flower baskets are manly?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to stand behind it.
Well, I allowed it in my utopia.
So for a utopia, these are the things.
The book
that have
was
to
me
happen.
Describing what I would like an ideal world and
sure.
how you should do that to reach that. So it was about cutting yourself off from all pleasures.
So you don't eat.
Don't eat. don't sex.
Don't sex. Don't eat.
Don't laze around.
No manly items. You're not allowed to have those.
Don't
right?
take Gandhi's name in vain.
Sure.
Have no mother before the mother that you've got.
Covet thy neighbor's
Thank
wife.
Thank you.
Covet, but do nothing.
Covet your neighbor's wife, but don't do anything about it.
Yeah. Watch your father kill himself.
Yeah.
Oh, and you failed that one.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
even
no.
Gandhi, not without sin. That's what that meant. Well, I want to be a part of this. It sounds pretty good.
I'm in.
Don't want to eat anymore. I'm tired of that. It's just a waste of time. Empty vitamins.
I might get another cupcake, but...
You invented a machine that would aid you in throwing off the yoke of imperialism in India. It was a literal invention and machine that he came up with. I think
the
it's
cotton gin.
I was thinking the exact same thing. What was this machine and how did it help you and your people in your struggle?
Wait,
it wasn't the cotton gin.
No, it was DVD players.
I'm sorry, DVD players.
Yeah.
Now, what did a DVD player do?
Well, not much for a couple decades after that.
Okay.
But they were supposed to help people see. I would make instructional videos because some people didn't know how to read. So I would make video versions of my book.
Okay.
For them to read my lips to.
So it's basically you, it's a video of you telling people to not eat, to not be manly.
Yeah.
To
not have manly possessions.
To not sex.
Yes.
And to have no mothers before your mother. Right? Is that still one of them? I really want it to be either way.
That sounds accurate.
Blu-ray players.
I'm turning into Sling Blade.
What? Mustard? Is that something he says? I can't remember. In your early 40s, your people were denied one
Wait,
of the very...
people?
In 3, 2, 1...
Was that an edit point you were just doing?
In your early 40s, your people were denied... God, see, I can't even say it without being angry with you.
Humans.
In your early 40s, your humans were denied one of the very...
Well, I feel like that, you're excluding the dogs.
In your early 40s, your people were denied one of the very building blocks of life due to incredibly high prices and taxes. And this outrage was handled by you in a very cool manner, in my opinion, where you figured out a simple way to acquire this item for free. What was this item and how did you get it to your people?
It was tea.
Tea?
Yeah.
So like dirt water that makes you awake, right? Isn't that what tea is?
Okay.
Crushed herbs. In water, right? It's tea.
Yeah.
Anyways, how did you figure out how to get it to people for free?
I would use these dogs that were quite fond of
me. The sex dogs.
I mean, I prefer to
the mustache
call them love,
sex dogs.
Dogs.
Mustache sex dogs. Sex dogs. I don't know why.
I was singing that to the tune of Mustang Sally. Mustache sex dog. I think it works.
Yeah, I like it.
Mustache sex
dog. Anyways. I would let the dogs loose, and people would be like, what's up with all
that's
these dogs?
That's who let the dogs out.
It took a long time for people to notice that.
That's right. All the barking, you think you would have known immediately.
See? And then when they were caught up in the commotion of all these dogs humping their legs, mm-hmm. I would just steal the tea.
Oh, so you would steal the tea off of the imperialists. Mm-hmm.
And I would go to tops of buildings and just throw it at my people.
Now, that seems like a poor way to distribute it to the people.
I mean, then they thought it was God giving them tea.
Giving them tea. And it probably looked like just leaves. Like you're just throwing leaves off of the roof. Like I said, you had this whole thing with the tea, and you were nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. You were nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize numerous times. How many times were you nominated? How many did you win?
Four, and I won one.
You were nominated four times. You won one.
Yeah.
What year did you win it? What did you do that year that was just like, that's it, he's got to have it?
1948. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you're nominated for it. What did you do that year that really pushed you over the edge? Was it the tea thing?
No, not exactly. It was more about the British. The British were real big in India at the time.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite there. And I was not a big fan of that.
They were on location.
Yeah, and all the not British Indian people were like, "Hey, man, like they're really crowding our vibe.
Uh-huh.
Like they're taking up a lot of space. Mm-hmm. They're charging us money for this tea that we love so much."
Yes,
and I was like, "Hey, guys, how about you hit the bricks?" But I did it, and like I would organize these organizations that would organize events. And,
grassroots, I think is how they refer to that. Yeah,
and we would just sit in front of cops and just say like, "Hey, man, we're not dealing with it. We're not doing it anymore.
You're
man.
Sitting in front of cops. You're not doing it anymore.
Peaceful protest.
Tell me how the bricks come into this. Are you hitting people with bricks? Yeah, is that
well, they would hit us with bricks.
Oh, I see.
So I would say hit the bricks, as in like, hey, we need to not be hit with bricks.
And so everyone around the world is just like, this Gandhi character, he's got it together.
Well, it didn't get around that fast.
Let's give him a prize.
You know, the communication systems of the day were quite not good.
Oh, okay. So what did you get for winning the Nobel Prize?
Nobel Prize.
Oh, that's it?
That's
it's
good.
Just like a ribbon? It's just like
they gave me $8,000.
$8,000.
And a lanyard to put the medal on so I could wear it around my neck.
Oh, that's good.
It's probably very heavy because you didn't wear a lot of clothing.
No. It like was twice my body weight. It really, I had a real bad posture after that.
You had to drag it across town.
I mean, I had great lower body strength.
You wrote a letter during a very trying time in our planet's history, appealing to one specific person and attempting to persuade them in a very clear direction. This is, again, a turning point in the history of civilization, of all human beings. Who was this person you wrote the letter to?
I mean, I don't know if you guys would know his name.
We might.
Okay. It's Adolf Hitler.
Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
The Chancellor of Germany.
Yeah. And good buddy. Good buddy of mine.
You were friends.
Oh, yeah. We got along great. We hit it off. We had very similar opinions about dogs. And,
I'm sorry.
And art.
Well, wait. You have lots of opinions about dogs. Yeah. So I want to know which opinion you shared with Hitler.
It sounds like all of them.
I mean, he enjoyed the company of dogs.
I see what you're saying.
Behind locked doors.
I am not picking up what
open
you're putting
barns.
Oh, God.
And, so, I mean, closed doors, but unlocked.
Right, of course.
You know, I mean, dogs can't open locks.
What kind of horse did Hitler ride? I almost said drive.
What does a horse have to do with anything?
Oh, never mind. I meant dog. All right.
Yeah.
See,
No, Hitler would ride a teacup Yorkie.
Did he have a bunch of them or just one? He just
he tied them all together with floss, and he would just lay down on them like a bed.
It would carry him through his official meetings and such. So what did you say in this letter that you wrote to Hitler?
It's like, Hitler, man. Oh, man, dude. I really need...
My dearest Hitler. The war rages on.
I said, Dolphy. Look,
mm-hmm.
It's getting crazy over here, man. I've heard you're doing great in Germany. I hear that you really took command. How do you get people to respect you so much?
Oh, and, so you're appealing to him for advice?
Yeah, I mean, he was the best.
He was number one at being
king. Yeah, king. He made himself king and then just kinged it up.
So you wanted to inquire to him as to how to deal with the British and get them. You know, get the Indians to come together and have nationalistic pride.
Also, I told him, I was like, dude, Lay off the Jews, man.
Oh,
man.
I see.
He was really not a fan, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just, like, not letting them into restaurants, and this is pretty much as bad as it got.
Were they allowed at WrestleMania?
Well, if now they are.
Okay, well, that's good.
But, yeah, I was.
You've
heard
come so far.
Yeah, he wasn't a big fan of those.
I'm going to say the names of a couple of people in your life that were very important.
A couple of peoples?
Oh, yeah. There was the barn people. Big, very important part of my life. There was a bathroom people,
yeah.
Another big part of my life.
Yeah. What is this, Porky's? Like, you don't know Porky's, do you?
I mean, I can't eat pork because...
Two very important peoples in your life. There's no way around it. You're just going to be the worst.
Yeah.
Tell me, who were Manu and Abha?
Manu, he was a childhood friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was a child. And he was my teacher.
Okay.
He taught me gym.
He taught you gym?
Yeah. You had to have a PE credit to graduate middle school. And he taught me. He was my gym teacher, as some would say.
What was your favorite part about gym class? What did you really enjoy?
Oh, the push-ups.
Oh, the push-ups.
And the showers. Love the showers.
I always liked scooter day whenever we'd get the little scooters.
Oh, I love scooter
those
day.
Those were fun. Liked those.
Yeah, we...
And you enjoyed the showers.
I love being clean.
And push-ups. I don't think I did push-ups ever in gym class, as you can tell. Look at me.
Yeah, I might have done some push-ups.
In gym class? Maybe the presidential,
physical fitness
yes. assessment.
Oh, you're the president?
Yes.
Of physical fitness.
This is David Britton, president of physical fitness.
Wait, what'd you do with my mom?
She's still there. That's your She's mom. Your mom is president of physical
I'm
fitness.
I'm fine.
I didn't recognize you without the beard.
So what about Abha? Who was Abha?
Abha, he was my advisor.
Mm-hmm.
He would communicate my message unto the people.
Mm-hmm.
He would eat. Yeah. The people's. He would actually eat food for me because I was fasting a lot.
Okay, so he's eating food for you. Like, so you just like to sit and watch him eat
so,
food?
You know, it's like, it's kind of psychological. Mm-hmm. I would see him eat food and I would feel the gratification of that food.
What was your
belly.
Favorite food to watch him eat?
Oh, I loved watching him eat dog. he could grill a dog like nobody else.
A whole dog.
And then George Foreman grill.
Oh, God, that's disgusting.
I mean, cut it out. He's not like... Just throwing a dog on the Barbie.
Sure,
know?
Yeah. Throw another dog on the Barbie. That's the worst thing that makes me sad.
He shaved it first.
Oh, well,
he would use my mom's razors. She had thick razors.
You don't want to eat a hairy dog. It'll smell terrible.
I would use the same razors to shave my glorious beard into a trim mustache.
You had a mustache?
Yeah.
Gandhi had a mustache.
Gandhi had a mustache.
I did not know that. I
never heard that.
Yeah, it was very impressive.
Tell me more.
I mean, I wanted to be sexy for these dogs. I was just like, these dogs had all these mustaches. I was like, I want to be cool.
I want to be cool and have a mustache like these dogs.
Yeah, and I wanted everybody to know that, like, I was a dude who could grow a mustache.
Now, were you ever worried that someone was going to take you out into a barn and masturbate in front of you?
Worried. I would say, anticipatory excitement.
We'll talk about your death very shortly, but I want to talk about something that I found very interesting about your story, and this is your last words. Mm-hmm. You spoke two words before you passed away, two specific words, and I'd like to know what those words were.
Peephole.
I almost said peephole. I was going to do it. We should have done it at the same time. You were not participating in the correct way.
No, it was fuck England.
Oh, fuck England. Yeah, I like peoples better, to be honest. So you just defiantly to the end, you passed away, you said, fuck England, and then you died. When did you die? What was the date of your death?
I died on December 25th, 1953.
Christmas Day, 1953.
Oh, is that Christmas?
Yeah. Well, I know you're not
I didn't care for it.
You're not a Christian, but I believe, you know.
I didn't have the muscle mass to chop down trees.
Nor does David. I mean, look at him. Your mother has not been taking care. Aside from being the president of physical fitness, she is not taking care of himself.
I'll chop down a tree.
You can chop down a tree?
I can chop down a tree.
All right, we're going to put that to the test later. And how did you die? How did you get taken away?
I was assassinated.
You were assassinated.
Now, by an assassin.
By an assassin. Walk us through the story. How did you get assassinated?
I was walking through a large crowd of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And
who's with you?
The folks that I was walking with.
All right.
My two dear friends
folks?
Of names that you mentioned.
Manu and Abha are there with you?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. And I was walking. We were all holding hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I was leading them to a big peaceful protest out front inside of the jail.
Okay.
Because, out front inside of the jail.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just this guy. He had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at a vantage point. And he had a snipe.
Now, does that mean far away or close?
It was...
It means a good, like, angle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was right in front of my face.
Oh, so he had a good vantage point right in front of
yeah,
you.
But he still had a sniper rifle, which I thought, like, he walked right in front of me.
That's pretty ballsy.
And I was like, there's no way that this kid's going to kill me. He was 12.
Oh, so he's 12 years old.
Right in the head.
Oh, man. How many times? Just the one time? Was that all he needed?
I mean, to kill me, yeah. But then he took a couple extra glory shots.
Oh, right. Because he wanted you to know that you were dead, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
And if our listeners wanted to go and visit your remains, where would they go to do that? Where are you buried?
My ashes were spread among the Great Lake Erie.
The Lake Erie. Now, that's one of the Great Lakes of America.
Yeah.
Why? What is the significance of that?
Because there was too much Britain still in England.
Ah.
And, I mean, India. Uh-huh. And I wanted to be far away from it, and I heard America was a real cool place.
That sounds fantastic to me. Mr. Gandhi, thank you so much for joining us. We've had such a wonderful time, and we've learned a lot about your history and your culture and dogs for some reason. But please, enjoy
your
eternity. Peoples. I hate everything about you.
Mustang Sally.
Jordan Matherlick, very funny comedian. I'm sorry, did I say your name wrong?
No.
Jordan Matherlick.
It's actually Jordan Matthewlick.
McLaughlick, finalist in this year's Bloomington Comedy Festival, along with Mr. David Britton right here.
And a lady.
No,
I just want to do that to piss her off. She hears it later.
Yeah. So Stephanie Lockbieler, the three of you guys are in the finals. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be tomorrow night. When this comes out, it'll be over. So.
Yeah.
But comedian around the Midwest, where can people check you out? Plug something.
Jordansjokes.com.
You have your own website now?
Yeah, I've had it for a long time.
Oh, that's great.
And my Twitter is at Jordan.
And so that's at symbol.
Yeah, symbol
at.
A-T-A-T Jordan.
A-T-A-T Jordan. You should say that it's like some Star Wars or something.
I think people know the word at more than Star Wars.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's more popular.
I think Star Wars is more popular than the word at.
I'm going to disagree.
Are we talking popularity or are we talking usage?
We're talking knowledge of said thing.
Popularity, right, and usage.
That's going to be true. Jordan can be seen all over the Midwest. Go to his Twitter, go to his website. Do you have festivals coming up or anything you want to plug?
I'm good.
You'll be the best in the fest the first weekend in September at the Comedy Attic.
You'll be in the best of the fest.
All three of us will be there. It'll be fun. And Mo Mitchell, Stephanie Lockbieler, and Doug Drury. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
We'll tell some jokes. We'll anger Jared. It'll be just a swell time. Yeah. Let's go into the story of Gandhi. Now, one of the reasons, of course, that we picked Gandhi for Jordan is because Jordan used to, I would say, a solid year and
still
a half,
it's in there.
It's in the mix.
Has been working on a really tight 20-minute Gandhi chunk that he's always messing with and always working on, and it's very funny.
Chunk, by the way. Gandhi's nickname.
That's right. Gandhi Chunk. Mahatma's got Mohandas.
Do the Mahatma shuffle. People would say
I don't think they did. But we thought it would be funny. But you knew a lot about Gandhi even without that.
No, not really.
But there are a couple things.
Fuck dogs.
There are a couple things that I think you'll be surprised about.
Right.
I think you did too. That's what I think. I think he hit two, but we'll see officially. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi was born October 2nd, 1869. So pretty close there.
Yeah, not too far.
He was born in Porbandar, Kathiawar Agency in British India. So this is British occupied India.
Right.
It's very, very oppressive. There's taxes on everything. Mm-hmm. There are people whipping people in the street, throwing people in jail.
People whipping peoples? That's horrible.
You gotta
peoples
stop.
Whipping people.
You just gotta stop. As a child, Gandhi was a very energetic child. He was constantly getting into things. He wasn't the best student.
He did well in a couple areas. He did poor in a couple areas.
He did great in gym.
He was okay in gym class, I guess.
I got an A in the showers.
Is that right? Gandhi was described by his sister, Raliat, as, quote, restless as Mercury and either playing or roaming about all the time. One of his favorite pastimes was twisting dogs' ears.
You know what? I think we got to give him a point. Did he?
So here's the thing: is he would no? Because I asked him specifically, what did he do to dogs?
Oh,
I
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
Just,
okay.
I didn't just. What were you doing? And he didn't say fucking dogs.
You're right.
So he would. I guess he was so known for being such a peaceful and calm, energetic thing. He would get close to dogs and twist their ears, and apparently that was just a good old time.
And he didn't bite his face off?
No, apparently not. Apparently that's just what he was into: was twisting dog ears. A lifelong vegetarian. Gandhi had never tasted flesh before meeting Sheikh Mehtab, who was a young boy that was a friend of his older brothers and became a friend of Mohandas's as well. One day, Mehtab took Mohandas to a brothel, which caused much anguish in Gandhi, causing him to feel and promptly end his friendship with Mehtab. He was very uncomfortable. He didn't like it. He didn't
How
like the way
he was.
Point? He was, I don't know, 10 or 11, like around there.
Cool. Yeah, that's a prime fuck age.
And Mehtab tried and convinced him to eat meat as well. He had been a vegetarian his whole life. He said, oh, this will make you strong and give you more stamina. And I assume it's the same way that they sell those dick pills on infomercials in the open.
Yeah, it's probably the same.
Yeah, more stamina, more of that special feeling. And so he ate meat, and he felt very terrible for it. At age 13, Gandhi was engaged at the age of 7. He was engaged at the age of 7 to Kasturba Manaji, and they were wed shortly after his 13th birthday. So he got married at 13. She was 14. They would have four children.
Older woman, eh?
Yeah. They would have four children in their marriage. And in 1906, Gandhi took a vow of celibacy. So after 1806, which was he was about 37, he vowed to never have sex again. So I'm sure she was super happy about that. They were married for 60 years. So for a lot of those, they were not having sex. Apparently, he just vowed to never have sex with her because you'll learn quickly that Gandhi was a bit of a sexual weirdo.
I've heard.
He had a lot of weird views on sex and celibacy and how to keep himself clean, and we'll get into it a little bit. They were married until she died at 74, and he always had female companions after that, and strange and odd ways, which again we'll talk about. A Dewan in India at this time meant a powerful government official or a minister, somebody
in
that
the White House
ruled over a province. I mean, I would say that that's probably a good enough answer. But his father was a local government official, and he wanted to go into that same field. One evening while his father rested and was basically on his deathbed, the younger Gandhi left his side to go have sex with his pregnant wife in their bed. Now, while he was gone, his father passed away and forever cemented in his mind that his lustful indulgences were going to be his downfall. Uh-huh. So that's what really kicked him overboard as far as sex. Like he was like, I wanted to have sex with my wife like I'm supposed to, I guess. And that because of that, I missed my father's
death. And
she was
pregnant. I mean, that's the best time.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
What else could go wrong?
Yeah, what?
So he had plans to leave India and expand his education. In the presence of a holy man, Gandhi vowed to his mother that he would not consume alcohol or eat meat and would not have sex while he was in England. So don't even know if he did that or not. There's a lot of people that say that Gandhi was, they actually came out as a homosexual as well because he had this really close friendship with this German weightlifter and bodybuilder, not making that up, I swear.
Gym coach.
A gym coach, maybe. Maybe that was him. In London, Gandhi studied law with the intention of becoming a barrister. His time in London was influenced by the vow he made to his mother. And once he finished his formal education in law and was called to the bar, he returned to India and found out that his mom had died and his family kept it from him. They didn't want to tell him because they just didn't want to tell him, so they ruined his life again. And he was terrible at law. Like, he came back and he tried to be a lawyer and was awful at cross-examinations and stuff like that. So he's just like, I'll just sign papers for people and things like that. And so that led him at age 24 to move to South Africa, where he would work as a legal representation for a trading company. All in all, he spent 21 years in South Africa, where he developed lots of his political views on ethics and leadership skills and things like that. There were a lot of Indians in, and I didn't get a lot of time to research this one because we sort of threw it together so quickly, but there were a lot of Indians in South Africa around this time, around the first two decades of the 20th century, and they were treated like dirt. I mean, this is British ruled South Africa, so black South Africans and Indians were very just, they were treated like garbage by these people, and that's where he learned how to, you know, stand up and nonviolent protests and things like that. He invented a machine. This is really crazy to me. Gandhi and his nonviolent movement sought to gain independence through the most basic nonconformist actions. This is back in India once he's there protesting against British rule. Linked to this was his advocacy that all Indians wear homespun cloth or khadi instead of British-made goods and textiles. He invented a small portable spinning wheel that could be folded into the size of a small typewriter. I don't know what that means. What's a small typewriter? Like that?
You know what a typewriter is?
Oh, of course. But a small portable typewriter? I've never heard of such a thing. I'm sure it exists, though.
A laptop?
Gandhi also urged the people to boycott British educational institutions and law courts, to resign from government employment, and to forsake British titles and honors. So he was just like, cut all ties, make your own clothes, use this little machine to do it. It's a great sign of protest. Just sit there and make your clothes, and they'll be like, hey, don't do that. Buy my clothes. And then they'll leave. And such. Gandhi turned his focus on the salt tax in March of 1930. This was highlighted by the famous Salt March to Dandi from March 12th to April 6th, where he marched 241 miles from Ahmedabad, to Dandi, Gujarat, to make salt for himself. So he and thousands of Indians walked all the way to the sea, and they were like, salt is free. We'll just take it here. We don't have to pay you or your taxes for salt. It's right here. So, ha ha ha.
Salt.
Good for him.
Salt.
Yeah.
Listen.
Salt is important.
You have to have salt. Humans can't exist without salt.
That's true.
Yeah, it's very true.
You do need it as part of your diet.
Yep.
Yes.
This campaign was one of the most successful at upsetting British hold on India, and Britain responded by imprisoning over 60,000 people. So they were just like, oh, we'll show you. Everyone's going to jail, or at least a large group of everyone. He was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize 4 times.
Oh, boom. Oh, come on. There it Get is. Out of here.
But he never won. Never won. He was nominated in 1948 as well, which is exactly what you said.
Nice.
But due to his death in 1948, the committee announced that there was no suitable living candidate that existed and gave out no award. So he never won it. He probably would have won it that year in 1948. He was nominated that, so that would have been the 5th nomination, but technically only 4 times, and he never won one. Mohandas was a bit of a sexual weirdo, as I mentioned.
Sleep with little boys?
Manu and Abba were Gandhi's 17 and 18-year-old grandnieces, whom he was often seen with towards the end of his life. Gotcha. He is noted as participating in several of what he called experiments with them. These experiments, among other things, Gandhi would sleep in between 2 naked young women, or 3 or 5. It was a lot, all the time. They were naked. He was naked. And that's all, apparently. Yep. He would prove to himself that he was chaste and virtuous. And this was his way of being like, look, I'm not fucking them. Look, it's cool. They're just naked. I'm in the room when they bathe, but I swear I close my eyes and I can hear him using soap. Literally, that's what he would say. And people are just like, oh, okay. And then after he died, people were like, what a fucking weirdo that guy was. Quote, one who has never any lustful intention, who by constant attendance upon God has become proof against conscious or unconscious emissions, who is capable of lying naked with naked women, however beautiful, without being in any manner whatsoever sexually excited, who is making daily and steady progress towards God, and whose every act is done in pursuance of that end and no other. That is, he could do whatever he wished, so as long as there was no apparent lustful intention. So as long as he didn't have lust, he could do whatever he wanted. He could put it in the butt. It didn't matter. Gandhi was weird.
It's Gandhi's loophole.
Yeah, it's poop. Oh, loophole. Gandhi's poophole.
Wait, people?
God damn it.
Come on, that was a pretty good one.
In a letter postmarked July 23rd, 1939, Gandhi wrote, "Dear friend, that I address you as friend is no formality. I own no foes. My business in life has been for the past 33 years to enlist the friendship of the whole of humanity by befriending mankind, irrespective of race, color, or creed." This, of course, was written to Adolf Hitler. Absolutely
what?
Right. Gandhi attempted to persuade Hitler to cast aside his warfare, and this was right at the worst part of the Civil War, of World War II. Poland is already occupied. Denmark is already taken over. Czechoslovakia has been destroyed.
People don't know about the Holocaust yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Gandhi mentioned in this letter, and you can go online and read that letter. It's a long letter that he wrote to him, and it's just like, hey, why do you hate Jews?
What's on the Jews?
Yeah, he's like, it doesn't make any
point.
Sense. So there's all these things that Gandhi were writing him. And it's weird reading the letter because it's like he's like, look, I know what it's like that you want to crush people. Like, I'm dealing with the British, and they were terrible to me. So I understand how you want to destroy the world, but be nice, and everybody should get along. And so in the end, he's kind of like, it's cool. There are some websites online that are just like, see, Gandhi was best friends with Hitler, and he'd go to his house and kill dogs. And it's complete
bullshit.
Oh, no,
Gandhi loved dogs.
Gandhi was a big dog lover. That's true. But yeah, Adolf Hitler, I had no idea about the existence of this letter until I wrote this script, and I was like,
that's really
very interesting. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi was assassinated at 5:07 p.m. I had no idea he was assassinated.
Oh, no?
Yeah, I did not know that at all until I was reading. He was assassinated at 5:17 p.m. on the 30th of January 1948. He was accompanied by his grandnieces Manu and Abha. Gandhi was on his way to address a prayer meeting when Nathuram Godse fired 3 bullets from a Beretta 9mm pistol into his chest at point-blank range. Godse was a Hindu nationalist with links to extremist Hindu sects. So the way that religion worked in India at this time, they got their independence. There are Muslims, there are Hindus, there are radical Hindus, there are radical Muslims. You've got the separation of Pakistan to its own nation. It's fucking terrifying. And Gandhi's just like, I'm done. Everything's cool. I'll keep protesting, but you know, I'm just gonna do a lot of silent contemplation, and I'm gonna get assassinated. So this guy apparently just did not agree with him, and blamed him for a lot of the problems that were facing Indians. And so he and his co-conspirator were tried and executed in 1949. Gandhi's memorial in New Delhi bears his epigraph, "He Ram," which may be translated to his final 2 words, "Oh God." That's what he said after he was shot. Oh God! And then he died. Three times in the chest. They are widely believed to be his last words after he was shot, though the veracity of the statement has often been disputed. But you know what? For the sake of this podcast, I'm going to say that's it. He was burned, of course, and he wanted his ashes to be put into one specific river. That was the idea, but they ended up getting split, and some of them went into the Ganges, some of them went to various places all around the country, but he was cremated and his ashes were scattered. So that's
in
absolutely
water.
True. Well, have you ever seen the Ganges River? It's barely water. That's one of the big problems.
Have you ever seen the Ganges
River? I've seen it on television, I guess. Let's tabulate the score. 4 points. I think that's a good score.
That's a
very good score.
Oh, for what I said, yeah. Totally.
Yep. Who knew that talking about Gandhi fucking dogs would get you 4 points? Thank you for joining us on this
jerking off in front
of
dogs.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah, you're not like your
dad
father.
Fucked
you're
dogs.
Not like your father.
It's like you're not even here.
Thanks for joining us on this highly edited version of this episode of History Bluffs. Jordan Matherlicht was our guest. Very, very funny. Go
I like
and
the
see
idea
him.
Of people listening to this and be like, that's what they left in.
Oh, man.
Can we redo it?
Can we do it again?
Don't take out any of those people. I'll
you
tell
can
you that.
Go to Twitter and find Jordan on there at JordanML. Is
nope,
that
just
it?
Jordan.
Just Jordan.
Do you think at Jordan was already taken?
It's like, oh, well, I can't have this one. Fuck. I guess I'll add my last 2 name things.
Initials.
Jordan's all over the place. You can see him at Crackers in Indy, at the Comedy Attic, in Cincinnati, in Chicago. Other places in America and beyond.
That made it sound like the Comedy Addicts in Cincinnati.
David Britton is online at davidbrittoncomedy.com. You can find out more about History Bluffs by going to HistoryBluffs.
But don't correct it.
HistoryBluffs.PotteryBarn.com.
I like that.
Did I correct it? What did I say? DavidBrittenComedy.com. That's what I said.
Right.
And then you can go to HistoryBluffs.Podomatic.com, .PotteryBarn.com. You can also find us on Twitter at HistoryBluffs. We've got lots of fun episodes coming up, so stick around and tell us if you like them or if you want to hear about a specific dead person. That would be really neat.
That would be neat.
For David Britton and Jordan Matherlick, my name is Bob Nugent. We'll see you next time here on History Bluffs.
History Bluffs!
History Bluffs.
That's my favorite song.
History Bluffs!